First of all, we find ourselves in this situation time and time again, to the point that it's actually become something we watch on television now.
As much as we say we want freedom, we struggle to decide to live free.
Why is this so common?
Hello and welcome to the To My Sisters podcast. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Renee, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the To My Sisters podcast.
We are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters around the world.
And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the signs, the red flags. Are you part of the circuit? Danger, danger. That's right. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about all of the things that you need to avoid when it comes to dating.
Yes.
And how to extricate yourself from a situation that you have found yourself in.
Yes.
Especially when you have ignored those red flags.
Lord.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be an exciting one. I really wanted to do this episode as a follow-up to last week's episode. The girlies loved it. And you know, in the hot takes, we also talked a little bit about love is blind. And depending on where you're at whilst you're listening to this podcast, the most recent episode of Love is Blind just showed that there were some red flags.
I still need to watch.
But girl,
yeah,
but unfortunate. To be fair, I don't think that there would be anything there that surprises you.
Absolutely.
There's nothing there.
Absolutely not.
But I thought it would be a great follow-up because, first of all, we find ourselves in this situation time and time again, to the point that it's actually become something we watch on television now. And whenever we say, oh girl, you missed the red flags, why didn't you see this? I think it's worth having a broader conversation around what exactly are these red flags?
Yeah.
How do we make sure that we are, you know,
Avoiding them.
But also, how do we actually get out once we are in that situation?
Yeah.
There's no real follow-up. So I thought it would be a good time to do that.
It's a good episode. I love that.
In the making. But before we do that, we have a couple of housekeeping. That's right. We need to sweep the house, you know.
Absolutely. The first thing is, as you can see, it's a little bit of a ghetto setup. Okay. We're making do with what we have. Shout out to Amazon, who has not delivered
Amazon
the mic stands which we ordered. If you listen to TMS Hot Takes, you get all of these midweek updates.
There you go.
Our mic stand broke, courtesy of Miss Puff.
Guys, I explained myself in hot
takes. She did. No, it's actually not her fault. These things happen. But we ordered new ones. And as you can see, we're still holding the mics. So put two and two together. Also, your hair looks great.
Thank you.
Absolutely gorgeous. We've missed the high puff.
Thank you. You know this weather, I can't be bringing her out too often. But if I go absolutely home, she won't be outside.
Absolutely.
So, thank you.
But yeah, that's one housekeeping.
Do we have any other? Oh.
No, I was both looking at each other.
Like, you got something for them? We got some breadcrumbs or something. Happy International Women's Month. Ooh, ooh, ooh. We celebrated quite a few things.
We did many things.
Happy International Women's Day. For the girlies that are in London, the United Kingdom, a birdie on the street told me that a little Courtney and Renee have been part of a campaign. That is right. Shout out to Black Ballot UK.
And Google. Yeah.
Can't forget Google.
Yes.
You will find our faces. Yeah.
The modern British workforce.
That's right.
We are on billboards, honey, around the city.
And
we've
bus stations.
Gone big time. Yeah.
Stop.
We've gone big time. And we're not just there by ourselves. We are alongside some phenomenal Black women and women of color all around the city. And it is an honor.
I loved it.
It is a sheer honor. And all those pictures that you'll see on the billboards were captured on Google Pixels.
Crazy. And they were good photos.
Great.
Fabulous stuff. So.
Great. Yes, Google, if you would like us to do work for you, we are open for work, as they say on LinkedIn.
Hello at tomysisters.com. Hello.
Simple as.
Say hello.
Simple as. So yeah, is that the only... We celebrated our World Book Day event on Thursday. It was really good, apart from the Wi-Fi in the room being atrocious. Hey. So we're going to do some of our like quizzes and stuff, really, but that upsetting. Means that there's going to be an online giveaway. Yes, we hosted To My Sisters and Brothers, How to Write and Publish a Book in collaboration with our good friend and dear brother, Kenny Imafadon. And it was amazing.
It was great.
People left with so many gems. And I cannot wait to read the books that are birthed out of that room.
Oh, man. Oh, guys, if you want to give us a commission for that, that would be great.
Absolutely.
Or if you want to like, you know... quote us, or if you want to like name drop or anything, we'll take it all.
Why not? Why not? We'll take you. And shout out to the industry professionals that came and dropped free game on everything, literally everything, publishing books. Shout out to Jacaranda Books for sponsoring, and shout out to Wagamama for providing us food. Oh. Yeah.
I enjoyed those bao buns. I enjoyed those dumplings. Great. Wagamama's be supportive.
Their corn skewers and the, is it a katsu roti? Yeah. Like the roti with the katsu sauce. So good.
It was so good. They even brought us wine. Yeah, we don't be drinking like this, but they
actually brought us wine.
That was nice.
It was a good evening, man.
Listen, if you missed out on that event and you would like something like that, like you like these events, you should let us know.
Yeah.
Especially in collaboration with brothers, you know, given this episode, we know that you guys could do with hearing the voices of men in our community that are actually upstanding. Yes. So if you would like to see a TMS x TMB collaboration, you should let us know. If we need to start looking, filtering the men of our community to see who we can bring on here.
Absolutely. Serious CRB checks. Yeah. Serious CRB checks. But yeah, I guess that's it for housekeeping.
I think that's it,
In terms of what's coming up, keep your eyes peeled. Sign up to the mailing list. Don't be a silly billy.
Silly billy. Do you know how funny that is?
Go to twomysisters.com, put your email address in. That's it.
That's actually it.
That's it. And then you'll never miss anything, ever.
Because people stay missing and they're like, oh, I didn't see it. You weren't on the mailing list. You weren't.
Ooh. Okay, so it's the next segment of our show,
which is a ding ding ding
dilemma.
Child, the girls are going through it.
Oh dear God.
Hi sisters.
Hey sweetie.
Love here from South Africa.
Hey.
My dilemma is one which I never imagined for myself.
Okay.
Growing up, I have always tried to stay clear from what is considered immoral. Oh. 3 years ago, I underwent a terrible friendship breakup of 20 years. I stopped living with my mom and even moved cities and found myself in a lonely and depressed space.
Okay.
I'm in my late 20s and have always been an introvert and did not care much about the company as I am always busy with work, volunteering and academics.
Nice.
Upon returning home, I met a guy whom I immediately clicked with.
Mm.
We became great friends and I wholly enjoyed his company. I began enjoying hobbies I have never engaged in.
I just feel like this is going left already.
Such as clubbing and going on drinking sprees regularly. Things quickly escalated into a situationship between us.
Mm-hmm.
4 months into it, I found out from his friend that he was married. This man...
Shy. People can be wicked. What the heck?
Lord have mercy. Not only that... This man had told me we could not hang out at his because he lived with his sister and daughter.
These times, that's his wife.
And probably his kid. It did not sit well with me because I instantly realized I had ignored the red flags.
Mm.
What makes me an even more horrible person is I continued with the relationship for 3 years until I decided to cut ties when his wife found out. He recently reached out again and we hung out. I have since felt a sense of self-loathing and blocked him on all platforms.
Okay.
I am still stuck in a space of loneliness and I'm very much afraid that I might land up with the wrong people again in my search to fill this uneasy void. Mm. I have plenty of friends. However, we do not see much of each other as we are all in different spaces in our lives.
Mm.
I know what I participated in is terrible.
Mm.
How do I go about forgiving myself, living in loneliness and redefining my sense of identity after I have steered off so much from the tracks? Please help.
Oh, this is this is interesting. Okay, let's just take a second.
Mm-hmm.
You need to stop meeting up with this man. I don't understand this whole he reached out, we met up. Why? Why? What business did you have there? You have no business there. That man is a married man.
Married.
He's going to take care of his wife and his child. You have no business with this man. Let him go. He is a part of your past now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you in the present, for moving into your future, I think in terms of forgiving yourself, you need to embrace that it was a mistake. You made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You did something which, like you said, it didn't align with your values. It didn't align with the person who you want to be and you see yourself as. You can move forward from that point though. You don't need to be trapped in that point. You can move forward now and you can put things in place to allow yourself to now rebuild your confidence in your decision making. I would say I think that this is one of those situations where it's like, okay, this happened to me, let me grieve. I am a bit disappointed in myself, but I can't imprison myself to my past.
Mm.
I've learnt better. I've learned to do better. Now I know better, right? And now you can go out there if you are dating or whatever and just spot the red flags,
yep.
but also look within yourself and say, okay, am I really honoring myself here? Am I really honoring my moral compass? Am I really being integral to who it is I say I want to be? Mm-hmm. And be a bit more self-aware of that, because you see how even if you do have high standards, there are many things in life that may come and stray you away from that path. Mm. Or even if you have a moral, like a sense of whatever morality you moral code you adhere to, sorry, there are things that will come and cause you to stray away from that path. And so be more attentive to when you are straying, when you yeah. are compromising. And that's okay. That's a good level of self-awareness to have, that oh, things are slipping a bit, mm-hmm. you know, I probably shouldn't go to this place because that doesn't align with who I want to be, or I shouldn't go as often, or I shouldn't drink as often, and use this as an opportunity to learn from your past self versus mm. despising your past self, yeah. right? It's a part of the story now. It's a junction where you can actually learn, pivot, and start moving in the right place, in the right direction, sorry, to the place that you want to be.
Yeah.
This is not hugely, this is not wholly your fault. And it sounds like you're trying to assign blame just to you, mm-hmm. but there is a part that you took in it because you're a grown adult, you get what I mean? And mm. you're aware of certain things and you decided to move forward. So next time when you're aware of certain things, decide to stop,
yeah.
you know, decide to actually put a big, like, a hard stop on things that don't align with your values.
Mm-hmm.
And that hopefully will help you to start moving in a way which you are quote unquote proud of, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I love that. Sis, I ain't gonna lie to you. You need to take accountability for that,
yeah.
because 4 months into a relationship or situationships, and this guy tells you that he's married, should have been the point that you needed mm-hmm. to back off. But to continue this relationship for 3 years, knowing that he is married, and then cutting it off just because his wife found out,
yeah.
there's a couple of like deep-rooted self-esteem issues and like moral principles that you need to sit with mm-hmm. and that you need to discover for yourself. Wallowing in kind of like self-pity and upset and disdain can only get you so far. I think it is really like taking accountability for the decisions that you made and moving forward.
Yeah.
I do think, I completely agree. I think there was no point in meeting that guy.
No point
whatsoever.
What are you going back for?
Unless you have some unresolved emotions or unresolved whatever, that's something that you need to deal with. And Facts. The answer isn't going back to this guy Absolutely looking for not. Anything, this closure, man can whatever. Give you nothing. Literally nothing. Like, we definitely have a policy here at TMS where you don't touch what is not yours, especially when it comes to relationships.
Facts.
And I think knowing and understanding the magnitude of these decisions is also really important. As much as you can kind of talk about how much this has affected you, this has also affected an entire family.
Yeah.
Like, this has, I don't know if they've, you know, broken up. I don't know if this is something that, you know, he's actively ever said, I'm trying to be with you yeah. and I'm trying to break up this relationship. I think the fact that you guys have progressed this relationship for the last 3 years or so, and there was no indication that he wanted to be with you in the long term and that he was, you know, actively trying to, leave his wife, right? Just goes to show that you were trapped in a very unhealthy situation that you were also unfortunately an active participant yep. in. So you really do need to hold your hands up and take accountability for your poor decision making. I say that in all love and all respect, yeah. but it's really important that this doesn't just turn into I was blindsided and I missed the signs and stuff like that. You made the decision with the information that you had, and yes. it was probably a bad decision. And I like that you have the self-awareness yes. of that, but I think you also need to take accountability for the magnitude of what that decision-making process enabled you to do.
Yeah.
And then I think really uprooting some of those self-esteem issues that you have as mm-hmm. well. It is clear to me, you know, some of the things that you were saying around like self-loathing and loneliness, mm. kind of casting yourself out after this whole escapade and episode. Yes, there is an opportunity for you to sit with yourself and be by yourself, but it doesn't mean that you are now relegated to loneliness for the rest of your life. Absolutely not. And I get that, you know, your community is in disparate places in the world. Like, that is a function of life. Like, we are, as we grow older, as we, you know, become more mature, it becomes really difficult for us to find the same solace in company because it's actually just difficult to engage with people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the energy that you had in pursuing this relationship would be so well, you know, transformative in other areas.
Yeah.
So the energy that you had to, you know, be pursuing this guy in particular, you could use that energy to making new friendships, yeah, to pursuing more kind of moral or more in line relationships with your moral compass, right? Like, the thing about energy is you can't create it, you can only transfer it. Mm-hmm. So use the energy that you had to engage with this guy to meet up with your friends, meet, yeah, up with new people, do the actual work of like building a community around you, having those accountability structures or, yeah, people in your life that are actually close enough to be able to tell you, sis, what you're doing, it's a bit mad still.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole thought of like being with someone for that long and being in that kind of situation with them without anybody else knowing, like your close friends, yeah, or family, is very, very dangerous,
yeah,
which is why we really encourage you need to invest in your community, because they can also hold you accountable when the red flags are flagging and you've actually actively decided to ignore them.
Yes.
So I think it's really important to, you need to invest in your community. Facts. It's going to hurt and it's going to be long and it's something that, you know, takes a lot of time and energy, but, mm-hmm, it's worth it, because at the end of the day, having that community, it's from that community that you'll be able to draw a sense of strength, a sense of identity and a sense of comfort to you. And I totally agree with what you're saying. I think you really need to decide what is your moral conduct,
yeah,
what is your personal mission statement, like how do you want to be perceived, because it's when we don't have that foundation, when we don't have that strength, that we are easily blown and swayed, yes, by other forces. So it's very important for you to do that work by yourself. Who is the woman that I want to be, and stick to it every single day, like make the conscious decision. That man needs to stay blocked, though, sis. I don't ever want to hear, he spoke to me, he messaged me, he called me, and you went.
Completely unnecessary, and it's completely unproductive. But also, so is this level of, like you said, self-pity, or, yeah, like, oh my gosh, how could I have done this? You did it.
Yeah.
It was you. It was actually you. Like, it was you. You decided.
Yeah.
So the same way you decided to do that, you can actually decide to do something in the other direction.
Absolutely.
And something that is a lot better and more aligned with the, like you said, the person who you want to be. But this state right here is also not helpful.
Get out.
Like, it's not helpful. Now it's just put the parameters in place to make sure that you don't do that again, especially now that you've seen. And it's sometimes seasons like this are good, yeah, not, but your actions were bad,
terrible.
Let me just reiterate that your actions were bad, but sometimes seasons like this in our lives are good because they humble us,
yeah,
to see that despite the fact you have a very high moral compass and a really high moral code, mm-hmm, don't live hypocritically. Do you get what I mean?
Yep.
And also, those high standards require a high level of discipline,
mm,
and like you said, a high level of self-esteem as well, to be able to say no to things and opportunities that present themselves. Mm. And so now it's good that you have awareness of the fact that your level of discipline in that area was not as high as you thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's time for you to train yourself up. A great way to be indisciplined is letting this man back into your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Close that door, lock it up and bolt it with wood. Like, this done, it's finished. Leave that man alone.
He has a daughter and a wife to attend to.
But also, this man doesn't want you. He does not want you. Don't let him spin you lies. He does not want you.
Let it go. Honestly, and you know what, sis, we say this with all love. And this is probably one of the dilemmas where we have to correct in love.
Yeah,
like, we're not going to sit 100%. Up here and say, sis, we're so sorry for you. You were bamboozled. Because I think there is a wider conversation to be had around women taking accountability when they are also participants, mm-hmm, in the situations that they find themselves, mm-hmm, in. So we're saying this with all love and genuinely, absolutely, wanting to see you do better and do well. As for the man, we have smoke for you, sir. But this is not the Two My Brothers episode just yet. But we have smoke for you, and we'll bring brothers that will also have smoke for you too. Terrible.
Ugh.
But sending lots of love, sis. We are, you know, praying for you. We really do hope that you'll be able to receive this with like all love. And we also pray that in this journey of you building up yourself and building your community, you will find people to hold you accountable, but also you'll be able to be a better person that's in line with your moral compass, yeah, and your principles.
Yeah.
And that you can move forward and have a happy, healthy life.
Hopefully.
With someone that wants you.
Please. And there is somebody out there who will give you faithful love, but also you need to prioritize that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right, sis. Thank you for sending your dilemma, though.
Honestly,
absolutely love you, and please let's not do this again.
Leave that man alone. Moving on, Courtney, don't kill me. Moving on to the bread and butter of the conversation. Did y'all miss the sign? I often think of when somebody is driving and they miss like a turning or miss something on the motorway and it sets them back like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what I often think of when I think, oh, you know, missing red flags and whatnot. So I kind of wanted to start this little conversation, this little chit chat with the commonality of these stories, right? I feel like every woman has a story where, you know, they share, I saw the signs or, you know, I decided I wanted to be a part of the circus. The clown was cute. He was cool. I decided that they would have to strap me up, strap me in. I decided to be messy. But I just wanted to talk about that commonality, right? Yeah. Because last week we were talking about Risa Tisa. You know, and sister's thriving.
She really
got her a Good Morning America.
Looking good in that Hanifa too.
Hello, somebody.
She's a queen.
An absolute queen. But one thing that struck me that we had mentioned in the last episode was everybody has a story of engaging with the narcissistic ex or engaging with the guy that hoodwinked them or, you know, just a guy that is just fundamentally no good. There's R&B songs about it.
Yes.
There are, you know, Netflix series about it. Why is this so common?
Because everybody is flawed, Renee.
Yeah.
Everyone is flawed. Like, let's not be naive. Let's not be naive. Yeah. You know, we're grown women here. Everybody is flawed. Like, it's not just a man, women, everyone is flawed. And this other layer to this is the social issues, right?
Yeah. Like,
not only are we all coming from different backgrounds, different childhood experiences, we're growing up in a generation as well where we're, how do I express this in the correct grammar? Our generation has grown up with the highest level of broken homes. I use that loosely, or dysfunctional families, maybe. Yep. So, you know, with rising levels of divorce, obviously children are now being products of that.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Right.
So now that we're growing up seeing marriages which aren't as traditional or marriages which may be a bit more turbulent. I wouldn't even say we're growing up seeing that. I think marriages have been turbulent, but in terms of like just social dynamics have changed, which are producing different kinds of people.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? With different kinds of experiences. And then they go into relationships acting quite interesting. Yeah. And I think that's on a male and a female front, right? I think there's also that extra layer of social media, technology, new opportunities to be and new ways to be trifling. You know, it's innovation.
Not innovation, it's innovative trifling behavior.
Ways to be no good. And so I think the commonality of it all is I think even if we go generations back, every woman still has a story of a man who tried it. Do you get what I mean? And so it's whether you stay or whether you leave, whether you allow that to continue, whether you accept it, whether you reject it. But I think it's just because, let's go back to the Garden of Eden, that enmity between you and your husband is a curse.
It's a curse
that's still raining in the earth, you know? But I genuinely think there's a tension, a contention between men and women. Obviously, this is a very heteronormative conversation.
Yeah.
But there is a contention between, you know, men and women around romantic relationships, around commitment, around partnership and unity. We even see it in friendship, right? Like, everyone's all good to the level of intimacy and the depths of your relationship increases. And now you start seeing people manifest their greatest insecurities, insanity. Their greatest insanity. Do you get what I mean? And it's like, whoa, where did that come from? And we see it, right? Even in friendship, you start journeying with people, you get closer, and suddenly this person who you thought, oh my God, that's my bestie, starts moving a little bit mad. Ooh. And you're like, whoa, okay, there you go. Like the perfect filter has gone. And now I really see you for who you are, which is a flawed human being.
Yeah.
And I don't say flawed in the sense that like you're rotten to the core, but like everyone, no matter how good you are, has some kind of flaw, has a capability of doing wrong, or has a fear, or has a level of maybe like pain that they're still overcoming, something that they've seen and they've learned which actually needs to be unlearned. Do you know what I mean? All of us have something. All of us have something. And I think men have a lot. Yep. But also women have a lot, yeah, you know, but yeah, men have a lot.
Yeah. It's the brokenness, brokenness. They said, my brokenness, your brokenness. Let's
do something together, you know. And I think because of the way the world has socialized men, that's actually hugely exacerbated compared to women.
Yep.
So even if you and your siblings, say you and your brother, grew up in the same home, and it's like, but the way that men are socialized and women are socialized, you're probably going to embark on a healing journey or at least self-regulation a lot easier and earlier than he probably would. And so then he may go into relationships, not saying Brian is like this, shout out to you, Brian.
Great guy.
Like, he may then go into a relationship and he's acting out, even though he's had the same childhood experiences as you, just because he's been socialized in a way that doesn't make him confront that anger or that brokenness or whatever, you know? So I think that's why we then see men grow up and in their grown age, they're still wild in.
Love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that. Completely agree. I love that you touched on the wider social forces, because I think one of the dangers of the conversations around red flags is we zone in on and ascribe blame to the individuals only. Yeah. And I think disproportionately, right? So it's the, you're with somebody that's no good to you and it's your fault.
Yeah.
Or you're consistently finding people that are problematic and it's because there is brokenness in you. And whilst there is an element of that that may be true, I think ascribing the entirety of the blame, especially on women, so often when we have, when we see like red pill conversations, for example, and it's like, why did you end up with this guy that treats you bad? Like, what's wrong with you? Not giving the appropriate nod to all of the social factors at play, all of the community forces at play. I love the fact that you talked on the socialization of men and women, right? Like, when we think about what is hip in society right now for women, it has always been to find some semblance of security, some semblance of commitment from men. Whereas the way that a lot of men are socialized is the opposite, right? It's the don't commit until you are ready, and you can be ready when you're 50. And for a lot of people, that's not the case. But they have been lied to by quite a lot of people that it's appropriate for you to live your life this way. Or at least it's appropriate for every man to live their life this way, right?
And I love that you said that, actually, because I dare I say it even works on the flip side, right? Because when women have conversations about men, it's just like, oh, men are this, all men are this, all men. And we also don't lean into the societal factors that have produced that kind of mass behavior. You know, it's like you said, there's commonalities in the women's experiences, but then there's also commonalities in the men's behavior. So then we have to ask the question, why is the behavior so common as well? I think there's a trend there.
Yeah, we are definitely
products of our society.
Definitely agree. And then I think also to pick up on the interpersonal / community level, right? This is a story that many of us have seen, but have also internalized. I think of our classic, we spoke about this in Hot Takes and in our last episodes, but somebody like Clay from Love is Blind constantly saying, oh, you know, I'm scared that, you know, I'm going to cheat because my father and my grandpappy, you know.
I come from a generation. I come from a lineage of adulterers.
But I think...
choose to be different.
But I think it's that, right? There is, I love that you said the word fear, because I think that a lot of people are afraid that because that blueprint has been set, that they don't have the capabilities to break out of generational curses or generational problems. And I think it's important to highlight that, because so often we will talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk.
We don't make the choice.
Right. We'll talk about the fact that we want to be different. We'll talk about the prayers and affirmations that we make, that we want to stand apart from our generation. Yeah. And yet our behavior doesn't reflect that of someone that has been delivered.
Absolutely.
It doesn't reflect the behavior of someone that has been walking in that so-called freedom.
Yeah.
And I think there's such a great disparity between how mentally a lot of us can assume that we have the high moral standards, but then our behavior suggests otherwise. And I think that was even highlighted by the dilemma, right? How far the distance can be, the dissonance between how we believe ourselves to be and how we behave.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that conversation we were having towards the end of that healing episode about how healing is not linear. And I was talking about how, like, generational curses really is about the decision to live free. And a lot of us, as you're describing, as much as we say we want freedom, we struggle to decide to live free. Do you get what I mean? As if we already have the freedom. And I think it's that we become the things that we fear the most when we don't see that they're actually not as imminent of a threat as we think they are, right? Yep. And so Clay is the perfect example of that, which is like, my dad did this, like I've seen men around me do that, I haven't had the best of examples. Okay, but why does that have to be you?
Right.
Right. Especially when you're aware. And I think that's the first step. You've identified the pattern. But identifying the pattern is not enough.
Yep.
And I think what AD was trying to do was like, okay, go to therapy. Like, let's talk these things up. Let's actually start doing the things to help you realize that this doesn't have to be you, and also keep you away from that path. But it kind of seems like he had almost subconsciously accepted that this is my path to walk.
Yeah.
Okay, if you decide to walk it, you're going to inevitably become that which you're saying you're afraid of, but you've given yourself over to.
Yeah, no, absolutely love that. And I kind of want to dip into this red flag territory, right? Like we often say, oh, you know, the signs, red flags, all that kind of jazz. What is a red flag? Because I think, I know, a lot of people just use the term super loosely. They're this person is
at this point.
At this point, like everything could be a red flag. And I think that in of itself can be dangerous, right?
Absolutely.
When you don't actually have a working definition for you as to what a red flag is. And then all of a sudden somebody is like, pulling you up on your BS. Red flag. Red flag.
Literally any kind of communication. That's a red flag. You're gaslighting me, you narcissistic.
Something.
Oh my God.
It's me. Oh, this therapy speak.
Weaponized therapy speak. Yeah. What is a red flag? For me personally, because I do agree with what you said, I think the definitions can somewhat be subjective.
Yeah.
For me personally, a red flag is literally just a, we cannot proceed past this point. Like it could be a display of, it could be a display of a certain behavior, a certain interaction me and you have had, which is like, we actually cannot go past this point. Now that doesn't necessarily mean end everything whilst it could, but it definitely means we have to halt things right now and have a conversation at this junction. Like we at this juncture right here, we need to talk about what the heck that was. Why did you talk to me like that? Why did I talk to you like that? Why did you interact with this person like that? Or you know, this repeated behavior you keep displaying or these things that you keep saying or whatever, I don't like it. And I don't think it's conducive to a healthy relationship, because I think that's the thing you need to ask yourself. Like, does this lend itself well to the journey we're trying to go on, or is this going to be a hindrance, right? And I think that's when we start to acknowledge, okay, cool, this is a red flag because we can't proceed past this point, or this is an amber flag. It's not great, but we can actually keep going because you're also committed to the journey. And I think a lot of us see a red flag and we're like, oh my God, it's a red flag. But actually, because we're all imperfect people, we all have a red flag. Like I know I have so many red flags. Like sometimes I get very angry at people and that level of rage. Oh my God, Courtney, ridiculous. You know, heal, relax. Or like, you know, sometimes in confrontation you go silent. Do you know what I mean? So it's just like, we all have our red flags. The question is, when you display a red flag, are you one, aware that you have this toxic trait almost? And two, what are you doing about it? Because if you are actively doing something about it, then it's not really red, it's yellow. Do you get what I mean? Like, proceed with caution. Watch and be vigilant of their action. I don't even drive and I know this stuff. Do you get what I mean? So it's like,
you're gonna pass when you do.
It's just traffic lights. Actually reading other signs is the issue,
right?
But yeah, like, watch, be cautious, proceed with caution, basically. And then other things are, this is something, it's a green flag even though it surrounds a toxic thing. So like, for example, this thing happened in my past, or this thing happened in my childhood, but I've already done all the work to be able to overcome it. So we can keep moving forward kind of freely. Do you get what I mean? Because this is a, this is something I've completely turned around. So I think we also need to give people the room to show us where they are on the spectrum with their toxic trait or their, you know, dysfunction or their unconventional experience. And once we see people, and where are you at, and how are you dealing with it, and what does that mean for our relationship and your behavior? Then we can really determine whether this is a red flag, as in we have to stop. But I think we're throwing out red flag because we're throwing out red flags too easily and too
flippantly
is the word I'm looking for. Thank you. We're throwing it out too flippantly because we are almost scared to deal with the human side of people.
Yeah. Big facts.
And we're being taught to kind of like over romanticize what a partner should be, and therefore it leads to us having this very unrealistic standard. We have an episode of this on our channel about like how social media sometimes illustrates who your partner should be and how they should treat you, is if they have a single ounce of humanity, like not even just toxicity, humanity, right, where it's like we're all imperfect people, they are a walking red flag. And it's like, no, there are people who are walking red flags, do you get what I mean? But then there are also people who have been hurt, who have been broken, who are also dealing with their own things, who need to grow past that point. And that it's okay to journey with people through the discomfort of it all. But sometimes with romantic relationships, we're not allowed to do that, because saying that, okay, this person has this issue, we're going to wait and stick it out, is something that people look at you and they think, oh, you're settling. Oh, that's a red flag. And it's like, no, you just don't know how to journey with people. You just don't have patience. You don't give grace. And you don't understand what a relationship actually is, which is a commitment to doing life together. And life is rough, you know? So that's why I feel like the trivialization of red flags is a problem.
No, I completely love that. I really, really do. I love the fact that you described the whole flagging system as a spectrum as opposed to absolutes, because I think that's where we can go wrong, right? Absolutely. This whole idea that human beings are, oh, you got the red flag, you got it, that's it, that's it there. Or someone displays a green flag, and dare I say it, because of those green flags, you're like, let's go, 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 when there's other things that you actually should be thinking about.
Taking notice.
And I think, just to highlight what you were saying, I think it's very important that these things are defined with your relationship in mind, right? There are so many outside forces that will contribute to your conception of what a red flag is. And whilst it's important to be grounded in so many different things, like your community, your friends, or the people that you hold dear to your life, I think there is a decision that has to be made by you and for you as to what constitutes as a red flag, or what constitutes as a cause for you to hold things up and deal with, right? Like this whole idea of not proceeding on things until things are dealt with. And I think Love is Blind, I think, is the perfect example. Example of this, right? Where we see a lot of red flags that are demonstrated by so many different people, but because of the speed and the desire to get towards that marriage point, a lot of people overlook what is an opportunity for you to stop for a moment. And then that's why, you know, a lot of people often get to that altar and they're like, actually, I'm gonna say no, because we have some things that we need to deal with that it actually would not be conducive for us to continue and proceed. So I love that you actually use that whole analogy of stopping, going, moving forward. Can we actually move forward? If this is a red flag, then we have to stop here. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily the end of the relationship, but this is a cause for us to stop. So I love that you mentioned that. And I think it's important sometimes. It's something that we spoke about again in our last episode, this idea of speed and haste. And sometimes I know that there's so many things contributing to this, right? But sometimes we as women, but also we as men, like we as people can rush.
We can rush. But then on the flip side of that, sometimes we're doing things too slow.
Yeah, entirely too slow.
Do you get what I mean? So I do think it is about being measured. But I think this is also where community comes in, right? Where it's like, sometimes you can't spot the red flags, but other people can. But also they can guide you and say like, really and truly, no one's field of flags is ever all green.
There
is nobody who is just a walking green flag, green flag, green flag. A lot of people have their amber flags. You know, their flags are yellow, but we're proceeding with caution, you know, around those things, and we're seeing how they behave. And I think a lot of us delay the dating process because we're waiting for all the flags to be green. And actually, no, that doesn't exist, because all your flags aren't green either. You know, the fact that you're even waiting for all the flags to be green is a yellow flag.
Might even be red. might even be
a red flag. But at the same time, sometimes other people can point out there are enough green flags for you to move forward. And sometimes that also helps you gauge the speed a lot easier.
No, for sure. And I think the dating process is an opportunity for you to gather information. Like this is really, when I think of like dating, it's almost like when you are trying to move forward on like different web pages, and you need, it requires you to have a certain minimum level of information to move forward. That is what dating is. We have to have a certain level of correct information for me to move forward. However, I do think it's also important that we don't see the accumulation or the identification of flags as like the be all and end all. Because then the relationship just becomes something, then the relationship just becomes about fulfilling these like arbitrary like measures and principles that you have set out for yourself. So I think of that guy, I can't remember his name, was it Matthew in Love is Blind? I think it was Matthew. Something
the guy
like that.
Who was asking all the questions in the beginning.
He came with his list and he was like, I'm going to ask you question number 6 and 7 and stuff like that. We're not saying that the flag system is the be all and end all of relationships, because I think sometimes we can use it as a crutch and use this as the only indicator as to whether this relationship will be successful.
Yeah.
And sometimes the things that we can have on our list, when they're not grounded in things like community, when they're not grounded by sound counsel, you now end up in a very empty relationship that lacks chemistry, that is devoid of actual attraction, because you focused so much on creating this mishmash of a perfect partner that you've forgotten that a relationship is about connecting with a human being.
Yes.
So I think we can also veer on the opposite side, where we're focused so much on the flags that we forget the human element of building a relationship.
Exactly.
We actually need to relate to each other. And sometimes the flag system will not enable us to do that.
Absolutely.
But on the flip side, when we're like, human connection, fun, I love you, relationship, and you're with somebody that is bad, you have unfortunately gathered a field of red flags. You have officially been officiated into the circus. Because often we talk about the red flags, what they are, what to look out for. If he's bad, does he treat you well? All that kind of stuff. Oftentimes we can overlook some of these things and land ourselves into a situation where we don't want to be here.
Yeah.
But we still love this person. We have a connection with them. How do we move forward when we have landed ourselves in a situation beyond the red flag point, right? We've identified the red flag. We may have overlooked it.
Yeah.
And we're now in a relationship with somebody that is abusive, or we're in a relationship with somebody that is a cheater. Yeah. We're in a relationship with somebody that might even be a serial killer child. I've seen it. The documentaries of women that are like, oh, you know, I knew that he was a little bit aggressive, but I didn't know he was killing people. Right? How do you get out of that? For that situation, you need to go to the police.
Yeah.
But how do we get out of a situation?
You literally leave, like, cease and desist. Because I think a lot of women can coach themselves into second guessing their discernment way too much.
Yep.
Right? You've discerned something.
Yep.
You've seen something. Like, this isn't even just, you know, hoogly poogly, the Holy Spirit was speaking to you. Your own eyes have actually seen.
Yeah.
Your own eyes have actually seen something is off here. The way he acts, the way he did this, the way he punched that wall, the way he spoke to that person, something is off.
Yeah.
And he is completely fine with this being his personality. Or this has happened too many times for somebody who says they're changing. Do you know what I mean? So go.
Yep.
You know, it's definitely more complex for somebody, say, who is in an abusive situation where they are the victim, or they are the one being abused. But for most of us,
gotta go.
Get up out of there. You know, it's like the girl in the dilemma, right? Okay. You're married. Bye.
Be going.
Bye. Like, it's that simple. I'm out. And I get it. Because as much as I say, okay, it's that simple, but it's hard. Because heart, your love is all intertwined. I love him. Oh my god. There'll be other people you can love in this life that I'm telling you. And oftentimes that thrill and that adrenaline and the stress of it all is actually what makes us feel more attached than we really are.
Right.
And I think it's less so a love, like a deep love for this person, and more so, this is exciting.
Yeah.
And this is, I feel alive when I'm around him. And but he'll kill you. Yep. Oh.
And what will you do then? Nothing.
Exactly. And so leave before it's too late, almost, or leave before you get to a point where it's like, no, you have to leave.
Yeah.
And it's like, you've now lost 3 years of your life.
Yeah.
Or you've now lost 2 years of your life because you are trying to give a chance to something that you should have stopped at a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
And I think, again, sometimes we think it's all or nothing, and we feel like, okay, we're gonna lose everything, but actually it could just be remove yourself from this situation, remove yourself from this level of intimacy. I don't want to proceed being your girlfriend, fiance, whatever the title is, your thing on the side. I don't want to proceed with this anymore. Doesn't mean I want you completely out of my life. It just means before we proceed to the next stage or continue acting like everything is okay, we really need to address this big litter of red flags that I've identified, and you really need to take accountability for your actions.
Yeah.
And if you still want to proceed with this relationship, I need to know what the plan of change actually is and whether you're committed to that. And that's what I'm going to be holding you accountable on going forward. I want to see these red flags turn amber and then turn green. Do you get what I mean? So it doesn't necessarily need to be that I'm out of here, get out of my life. Some of you do need to run away.
Yeah.
Like completely, like the door is closed. Yes. Do you get what I mean? Some of you, some situations you do need to do that. Might even need to change your name, change your number. But for a lot of us, it's also, let's just stop here.
Yeah, cease.
Yeah. And let's cause a little bit of distance before we get all googly-eyed and in the romantic situation.
Yeah.
And let's call this what it is. I've identified these things. We need to talk about them. And it's not about you leaving my life. It's about me assessing where in my life you're going to be.
Right.
You know, and what this relationship is actually going to be. Because a lot of us are moving. We're just allowing ourselves to just go with the flow. And that's what's making us ignore the red flags, you know, because we don't have a grip on things. So take a grip of things and be like, stop.
I love that. Completely agree. It actually made me think of sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah.
Right. This whole idea that I've put in all of this effort. Exactly. I may be wrong, but I put in all of this effort, so I might as well go ahead. No. That's like taking a wrong turning on a motorway and continuing to proceed in the wrong direction just because, I'm here now. You have got to do a U-turn. You might even need to park on the side of the road and, you know, get yourself together and then make your way the right way, even if it will take you a longer amount of time. And I think there's, especially for women, a certain stigma and shame around failed relationships.
Yeah.
But broken relationships are worse. Let me tell you that for free. This whole idea that, you know, if we get divorced or if I break up with this person after this amount of time, then I failed, right? Like I haven't been able to keep this relationship together. Like this is indicative of me as a person. Yeah. And a lot of people take that personally, right? They think that, and I think even that is a red flag for us as women. The fact that we think that for a relationship to survive, it's only on us. It's not.
Exactly.
It takes two to tango.
Exactly. And this is why communication at those points is so important, right? Yep. Because you let the person know the onus isn't just on me.
Right.
Whilst I've said, this has come to my attention, let's halt. The reparation of this relationship is just not on me, you know?
Yeah.
But also, I'm allowing you to get involved in also the speed that this relationship transforms.
Absolutely.
In, you know, it's not just on me. It's not on me to just be like, I'm going to ignore it so that we can move forward. You're not the only one in control of the tide of your relationship.
Right.
You may be deceived into thinking that's the case. And then you end up in a relationship you actually don't want. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, but I thought I was controlling the situation.
Yeah.
You are not controlling the situation because you cannot control people. You can only control your choice.
Yep.
Right. And if your choice is to continue when there's nonsense clearly in front of you, nonsense and trifling behavior is what you're going to end up seeing in
110%.
That's it.
Child, don't sow your seed in these kind of fields,
don't
baby.
Do that.
I know you may have cast a couple seeds here or there, but pick them back up.
Yeah. But even with that, right, like the level of accountability people put on women in relationships, we can use that to our advantage, which is I don't want this relationship to crash and burn. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to end up doing something dumb. Do you get what I mean? So this is why I have to say, absolutely not.
End it here.
Stop it right now.
Park it. Season, you know, desist.
Simple as.
Restrain and so in order.
If it is that people want us to take all that responsibility, cool, we'll be responsible in making sure this relationship is actually healthy. And sometimes that looks like I'm not going to condone your bad behavior until you address it.
Facts. 110%. Well, to kind of close out this episode, I actually wanted to ask you, Courtney.
Yeah, what's that?
In terms of red flags and green flags, give me two red flags for you and two green flags for you.
Okay. One big red flag for me is somebody who does not listen to wise counsel. If you can't get advice from anybody, if nobody can talk sense into you, if you have nobody whose voice you really respect, you can be like, what you're doing is crazy change.
Yep.
Red flag.
Yep.
A red flag. Because then what if you're doing something to me? Who do I go to report you to?
Not you having to come to him.
Do you get what I mean?
No.
You are an end and means all by yourself. Oh, an end unto yourself. No. So yeah, somebody who doesn't have any kind of accountability, any kind of person they respect, any wise counsel to listen to, hate it. Another red flag. Somebody who shows aggressive and like abusive behavior.
Yeah.
If you,
has been consistent for you, boy. You said no.
Mm-mm. If we're walking, you get so angry, you push something over. Oh, I'm going by. Going home.
Oh, yeah, that's actually quite a serious thing.
Yeah, do you get what I mean? Or you punch a wall, or you, I don't care. No. As much, even if you slam a door.
Get out of here.
Excuse me?
You know those people when they go to slam the door and they're like, and then they stop just before.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Or you raise your voice too loud. Who do you think you're talking to? Simmer down.
You better.
Simmer down. And it's a little bit hypocritical because sometimes I can do it. Like when my voice is getting a bit loud, I'm trying to control it. But it really triggers me when someone does it.
She said, you're going to shout. I will shout too.
I will shout louder. I'll show you who is mad. Out of the two of us. Two green flags for me though. Yeah. Someone who is at least trying.
Yeah.
I think I really admire that when somebody has gone through a lot in life and there are a lot of things or maybe behaviors that they've learned where it's like, this is maybe a bit unhelpful and unproductive. Mm-hmm. They recognize it and they say, oh my gosh, I actually need to do the work to overcome this. I think that's a huge green flag. And I think it leaves room for us to see that like people are not perfect people, but as long as they are trying, they're good enough, right?
Yeah.
And so I just like people that try.
Yeah.
Like the effort, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
To work on yourself, to heal, to do the therapy, to do all that of that stuff. And then secondly, another green flag, someone whose love is unwavering. Like I think there's a, if somebody has committed themselves to you, I'm talking more so in committed relationships versus dating, but like I think somebody should have a level of integrity of character that no matter what is going on between us, no matter what's going on in life, there's a basic level of respect and caring conduct that is displayed even if you're angry or even if you're upset or even if things didn't go your way. I shouldn't, your love for me should not grow cold just because we just had an argument.
Yeah.
You know, I would still, even if it's in frustration, you should still be like, do you want me to drop you to that place? Yeah. Or do you want me to, you know, the things that you do as a part of your consistent behavior should remain consistent. I think that's just a way of seeing that, like, especially with someone, as somebody who has quite an anxious attachment style, if I see like inconsistent behavior, I'm like, oh my gosh, he doesn't love me anymore. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, he doesn't want me anymore.
Not interested.
You know, and I don't want to be thrown into that level of insecurity. Yeah. So I think anything that allows me to maintain my security definitely is a green flag. How about you? What's your two red and two green?
Two red. So the first red that came into my mind is dysfunctional relationships with women in your life. I cannot, whether it's your sister or your mother, and dysfunctional doesn't necessarily mean negative.
Yeah.
It can be overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah.
So if you're doing up the whole, you know, Oedipus complex with your mamas, I can't be around, so I can't. Or just some kind of dysfunction with women. I'm hearing stories like, oh, this ex was crazy. This ex was crazy. All of them were crazy.
All of them?
What's that? Yeah. Interesting. Because I think sometimes a lot of folks use that as a manipulative tool and say, you know, you're different. Yeah. I've seen it so many times, or like with people that I've interacted with, you know, they'll have dysfunctional relationships with women, but then create the impression that you're somehow special. Yeah. And that is the conditions for manipulation. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
So you better have healthy relationships with at least one woman, one example that I can be like, oh, okay, cool. He knows how to treat women, because how else am I going to know? I'm not going to just use me as, I ain't going to be your punching bag or your like experiment. Facts. What do I look like to you?
Facts.
So I think that's a big red flag for me. I think the second red flag is somebody that is stingy.
Big red flag.
And not even just stingy in terms of like finances, but just stingy in everything that you do. Like you're counting the cost when it comes to expressing your love for me. And I can't deal with that. Yeah. Like I would love to be with somebody that is a natural giver or somebody that is selfless, somebody that is putting me top of mind, because it makes it easier for me to also do that with them.
Absolutely.
And I even saw the story of like somebody that was going out with somebody. They went to go and buy like snacks for the movies, and she bought like one biscuit and he put the divider and said, you pay for your biscuit.
It's embarrassing.
Sir?
That is so embarrassing.
And I'm not saying that you have to be like rich or wealthy,
stinginess is different.
Exactly.
Generosity.
That is the exact word. I would love to be with somebody that is generous. So stinginess to me, big red flag, because we'll be having kids and you'll be there like, oh, can you like sew up the We can't get them a new item of clothing. Just sew them up something. What do I look like to you? Is this David Copperfield?
Yeah.
And then green flags for me, I think I value somebody that can demonstrate discipline in their life. So you don't have to be super disciplined, but I would like to see the receipts or the fruit of discipline in your life. So whether it be like you're somebody that is disciplined in like the way that you use your time, like you being a productive person, like I would like to see that you're somebody that values time management, that kind of stuff, because life gets really busy, as we have seen, and knowing that there's somebody out there that is like really prioritizing the right things in their life, I think is really, really important for me. Another green flag, probably somebody that is more optimistic than pessimistic.
Yeah.
I think that life can be extremely like just sad. Yeah. And to be with somebody that likes to see the good in people, or somebody that is like more positive or joyful than negative, just makes life a lot easier. And it means that we can make decisions that are based on like joy and abundance as opposed to scarcity, negativity, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, those are my flags.
I love that. I love those.
Yeah. Well, good ones. Good sisters, ones. We've shared our red flags and green flags.
Throw it out to us, girl.
We would like to know red flags. And those of you that have ignored red flags, we want to hear the stories. Come on, share with us. Share with us. We need to share and distribute the wisdom.
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's not everybody that has to experience it to understand. Yes. Sometimes let us learn from others.
Yeah.
So sisters, if you enjoyed this episode, please, please, please drop it like it's hot below. Don't forget to rate us 5 stars. Mm-hmm. You guys have been keeping it up on Spotify. We love it. So if you learned something new today or you really just enjoyed the conversation, then we would appreciate it if you left a review and you rated us 5 stars.
Yeah.
And of course, you can come and stay up to date with everything TMS World on our social media. We are on everything.
We are.
Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, everything. X, we're there. Okay. At To My Sisterhood on all platforms. Ooh. And of course, you can follow our individual glowing and growing journeys. My lovely wise bestie on the left of me at CD Boateng. And of course, you can follow me over at Renee Kapuku.
Yes, you can. And you can sign up to the mailing list, guys. Head to twomysisters.com, enter in your email, and we will send you love letters weekly and loads of resources, access, exclusive access, first access to so many different things. So you want to be on that mailing list. Okay. Have an amazing week, and as always, keep glowing and growing.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.